8:30.
Can y'all hear me like this?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. I'm Kayla, I'm an addict.
Hey, y'all.
So I don't know why this is weird for me, but here we are. So Ashley A. is going to share on staying clean on the outside because she has experience with this. Actually, I'm honored to be able to introduce Ashley A. because she works a damn good program. So anything she says, I can say that she lives it. She's not just talking shit. So Ashley A.
I didn't know that there was going to be a microphone, but I'm Ashley, I'm an addict. So I'm just honored to be able to share my experience, strength, and hope today. So staying clean on the outside, man, all I knew when I got here was jails, institutions, and even death. That was my reality. I had lived that from the time that I was 19 years old until I found the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And so when I came in, you know, I was very weird. I was weird as fuck. I was awkward. I was institutionalized. I didn't know how to be a part of anything because my disease had isolated me so much to the point where I wasn't comfortable in my own skin. So being able to transition into being a productive member of society and, like, able to function in the world and not, you know, struggle with who I am as a person, like, all that was a process. And it started, I'm gonna take y'all deep real quick and then we're gonna get to the hope of the message, but I feel it really heavy on my heart to share this experience with y'all. So what led me to recovery this time, first off, my clean date is June 19th of 2022. Thank you. So the experience that led me into recovery this time was I was hanging out, just doing my thing. I was, you know, with a couple friends, and I hit my friend with the shot that killed him. I called 911. I ended up going to jail immediately because the task force came, and that was fucking fun. But I got charged with hella charges. Like, I had like 4 trafficking charges. I had 18 other felony possessions. I had misdemeanors. And I'm telling y'all this for a point, to prove a point, that this program works. So I went to jail and I didn't know it in the moment, but God was isolating me. God was separating me from the crowd that I knew, because I went to jail in a different county where I didn't know anybody. It was weird, like, because I'm used to going to jail and turning the fuck up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm on the spades table, throwing spades, wilding out, like, just thugging in the jail because I'm meeting new plugs. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was what going to jail meant for me, was I knew I could do the time. I knew I could sit there and I could meet better, you know, I guess, better connects or learn more about how to successfully use, you know. And so anyway, this experience, I went to a different jail and I didn't know how to live with myself anymore because I was being held under investigation for murder, for my friend's death. And I knew that was not my heart, you know, like, I never, the reality was my disease had taken me to a place to where I found myself in this situation, and it looked real fucked up on paper, you know, like, it looked real bad on paper, and it didn't matter about my heart. So I took time during that part of the, like, my stay. I ended up staying in jail for like 11 months, and while I was there, H and I came in, and I'm super passionate about H&I because a woman walked into that jail, and, you know, this time, you know, when you be in jail, I don't know about y'all, but I've been in jail a lot. When you go and you're, like, there for a minute and they start coming in and you go to all the little classes because they got cookies and shit and you want some candy. And so that's what I used to do. Well, this time I didn't do that. I went because I needed something different. I needed to know what I was going to do if I ever got the opportunity to be out and be free again, because I had accepted in my mind that I was going to prison for the rest of my life. My charges looked real lit. That was just the way that it looked. But God, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, this lady come in, and I knew her. I knew that the shit that we had done on the streets together. And so She was different, though. She had a light about her. She was in there. She was in the jail willingly. She walked in there willingly. You know what I'm saying? So something was going on. Like, so after the meeting, I went up to her and I was like, you know, what's going on? Like, what have you been doing? What do you have? You know, just trying to get any type of information. And she told me that she was involved in Narcotics Anonymous, and it gave me hope. It really gave me hope. And I don't know why I'm being such a girl right now. But anyway, so once I ended up getting out, and I was court ordered to a program. So I went to this program, and this time I had tried rehabs. I had, you know, in and out for years. And this time I wasn't trying to do what Ashley wanted to do. I actually went and I was willing to learn and sit still, man. That was the biggest thing for me. Like, I always thought that if I just kept, I was running, trying to run from myself, you know, so it was hard for me to sit still. It was hard for me to look at my past and all this stuff. Well, this time I had made a promise to myself, and it's the first promise that I've made to myself and actually kept. And that's why this is so important to me, because it matters to me. Because I'm still doing it today. I'm still staying clean today. And so I made this promise to myself that I would stay clean by any means necessary. If I could stay high by any means necessary, I could try staying clean by any means necessary. So that's what I did, man. I went to this program and I took suggestions. Like, so I went to a faith-based place, not knocking it. I needed it. Because that's what keeps me clean, is a relationship with a power greater than myself. First and foremost, and then it's my job to do the work to maintain that. You know what I'm saying? So I meet my God halfway, and we vibe it out. So I sat still long enough. I completed the program. That's the first thing I've ever completed in my whole life. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was good at starting shit. I wasn't good at following through. So I took the time, like, being at this faith-based place, it was like, we would have in-house meetings and stuff like that, but any free night we got, I would dip off and go to a meeting. And I don't know, man, like, when I walked in the rooms, it was just like I could breathe for that hour. And then I would come back to the house, and there's like 50 women there, and they'd be like, where y'all been? Like, because it was contagious. The hope in these rooms and the happiness and the freedom in these rooms is contagious, and it sticks to you. It's an energy that you just carry around with you. And so I ended up roping a bunch of girls in to come into meetings with me and all this. And then, you know, I was kind of weary of the steps. I ain't gonna front, like, who the fuck wants to do all that? But I became willing, though, because I could walk into a meeting, and I was so weird, y'all. Like, I'd be sitting there, palms sweating. So this is like a huge deal for me to be up here, like, talking in front of y'all right now, because it's a gift that's been given to me through coming back continuously. And I would be, you know, it was so hard for me to, I'd forget my name. I'd be so nervous in a meeting. I would forget my name, but I would force myself to be uncomfortable, because y'all told me that I needed to keep coming back, that I needed to share honestly, I needed to get a sponsor and do step work, and ultimately give back. And so that was my mission, you know. And I remember the first meeting I went to, it was a speaker meeting, and this guy got up and he had like 30 years clean. And at that time, if you had a year clean, you were a freaking superhero in my eyes, because I couldn't fathom staying clean for more than a couple hours or a couple days. Like, I had abstinent time when I made it to the rooms. I didn't have any real recovery. I had abstinent time, and there's a huge difference. You can stop using, but if you're not working a program, then you're really not recovering from the shit that caused you to use in the first place. So I became willing to get a sponsor. I got that sponsor, and the first thing she brought me to was this convention. It was the big giveaway. She was like, hey, we're going to go do some service work real quick. Get in the truck. I said, all right. And then we get here, and I'm like, what is happening? Like, she tricked me. Like, it was horrible. But it was so horrible, because it was like I was so uncomfortable, and everybody's like, hey, let me love you. And I'm like, back up, first off, because I didn't love myself. I didn't see what y'all saw. I didn't see the addict. All I saw was my past, and I carried that. And so to be able to, you know, now it's like I have, you know, over 3.5 years clean, and I couldn't imagine my life any different. Like, this, God gifted me with this opportunity to be a member of NA because I have, my past doesn't define me. It is my message today. And so, staying clean on the outside, I mean, I haven't been back to jail yet. You know what I'm saying? It's a possibility. But as far as like treatment centers and stuff, you know, I ended up, now I'm employed at a treatment facility. I am a house manager at a treatment facility. It's like, this is my world today. And that matters so much to me, because what else would I be doing if I wasn't doing what I'm doing right now? You know, and I really want to just encourage you, like, all the things. So when I got here, like, I thought I was the shit. I thought I was, like, fearless and all this, like, proof. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got it tatted because I thought that I was really fearless. Come to find out, I'm terrified of everything. So, you know, but it takes so much courage. So I just want to take a second, and I want y'all to acknowledge the courage that it takes to be sitting in this room right now, willing to just be here and do something different, because I know the life that I've lived in my active addiction, and I was terrified to do something different because I didn't know what it was going to look like. You know, I didn't know what life was going to look like clean. I didn't know, you know, that it would work for me. Honestly, I thought everybody was liars, because that's all I was surrounded by when I was out in the streets, you know. So when I got here, I thought everybody was a liar. Like, it ain't no way y'all just did these steps and y'all read this literature and y'all do all these things right here and your life is, like, drastically different, like polar opposites. And I'm just telling you something. Like, I look real cute today, but I was ratchet and I was a mess, y'all. I was a whole hot mess. Like, and I got the, after this, if y'all want to see, like, my, what they call the mug shots, I got them on my phone just because I can prove it type shit today. But I just feel like people forget, you know, like you get a little clean time and you get some stuff and you get a good job and you get this car and the girl and the guy and the, like, I'm tatted up now. No, you know, I still have a problem. I still have a very bad problem, and it is not at play. It doesn't play with me, so I don't play with it, you know, and that's the reality of it. I keep myself, my sponsor tells me all the time, well, maybe not all the time, that's extra, I'm being extra, but when you stay in the middle of the boat, it's less likely for you to fall out. And so I keep myself in the middle of the boat. And what that looks like is being of service. That Angel shared a minute ago about the first act of service that you can really do is hugging somebody. You know, like, that's an act of service. Like, we try to build things up in our head and, like, I'm not good enough for this, or I don't have anything to offer. And that's just not the reality. Like, all of us in here have something to offer to Narcotics Anonymous. And so I just feel like, you know, what it looks like for me today is continuing the process of recovery as far as step work. I'm just now making it on step 10. But I'm not rushing it. That's another thing. I learned how to trust a process instead of just rush the outcome and fuck it up. You know what I'm saying? Because when I put my hands on something, I'm going to mess it up. And so the first thing is get a higher power. I don't care what it is. And sometimes it's easier for you to believe that I believe. And that's how it worked for me for a little while, because my higher power when I got here was the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. It was the people, because I knew when I got there in the meeting, I could breathe for that hour. I didn't have to worry about if I was safe. I didn't have to use. I didn't have to micromanage all my court cases that were pending and all this stuff. I didn't have to do anything but just sit still, and that was so powerful to me, because when I didn't know what to do with my hands, they was over here doing some dumb shit. And so to be able to use my hands in a productive way, which meant, hey, I might fix coffee, or hey, I might pass out the readings, or hey, let me help you pick these chairs up. Like, any little act of service like that, to feel like, somebody told me that if I wanted self-esteem, I needed to do esteemable acts. And I didn't know what that looked like. So you know what I did? I watched people. I watched people who were in these rooms and who had some clean time, and they were people with integrity. They might be a little thrown off sometimes. They might, you know what I'm saying? They might not handle everything, just a little bit. But watch it. That's the thing, though. Who said it? Somebody. Anyways, irrelevant. They said, well, we'll come back to that. But I was trying to put a face to a name and I couldn't. But anyways, share the message, and when necessary, use words. And so what's that mean? That means I need to walk it like I talk it. And so, hey, you know, and that's something that helped me when I got clean. I may not apply discernment to my own life, but I can to others. And I can see when people are not living what they're saying. That's like sharing clean and living dirty. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can be clean all day long, but I want to know that you are practicing these principles in all of your affairs. And I didn't know what the fuck a principle was when I got here. What you mean? I ain't been in school since 2009. You know what I'm saying? But everybody was like, these spiritual principles and all this stuff. But what's so cool is I was already living them. I already had courage. I already had hope. I already had faith that this could be something great for me. So what did I do? All I needed was my willingness. I needed a little bit of honesty, just a little bit, just enough to get me in the door to where God could use that and magnify it. And so that's what I did. I would go in the meetings and I would share so raw, just like I'd be a whole mess. And they'd be like, damn, Shawty, you got it bad right now. And I was like, I sure do. I really do. But hey, we're working on it. You know, I'm willing. And so it was like one of those things where once I started working the steps, I could see that, like, by the time I would get to, like, one step, I'd already be living the next step. And that's the beauty of this process. And if you don't understand it, it's totally fine. You don't have to. That's the freedom of this. Like, you don't have to understand. You just need to be willing to do something different. And I mean, some days it's like, even when I'm having a hard time, I'm still so very grateful because it has been so much worse in the past. And, you know, I realize that clearly, I'm still an addict, but I'm still addicted to more. Like, some days, what keeps me coming back is that I want what's next. I want what God has for me next. I want what this program has to offer. I want to be of service. Look, so I was telling y'all about the whole big giveaway and all this stuff. I was terrified. I didn't want to be here. I was so uncomfortable. And now look at me standing up here right now. Like, that is how God works through this program. And you know, it's just so amazing to be able to do this today and not be scared. Like, I mean, my armpit's a little sweaty, but that's from the coffee. You know what I'm saying? That ain't because I'm nervous. And I didn't forget my name when I got up here, so that's a plus too. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, I'm winning today, you know. But I don't know. What time? Are you timing me, maybe?
I am, yeah.
How many more minutes?
Good. You got like 10 more minutes.
Shut up.
I can take that up, I'm sure.
Are you good? I don't know, man. What I do know is that it's really hard for me to regret making the decision to come to Narcotics Anonymous. It's really hard. Like, I get to experience things, and I get to live through these experiences clean. So I lost my mom when I was 10 months clean to an accidental overdose, and I stayed clean through that. How? Because when I woke up and I got that phone call, my first thought was not, hey, how can I numb this? It was, hey, where's a meeting? Where's a meeting? And that's crazy because only God could have put that thought in my mind, because that is not my way of thinking. You know, that is just not my way of thinking at all. My first thought is to numb it or to run or to, hey. And, you know, like, even though drugs is not a problem for me anymore, sex is, and money is, and spending is, and shopping, and all these things. So now applying the steps to those things, and that's so cool, because I thought I came here because I had a drug problem. No, I'm the problem. You know, it's me all day long. Like, I'm still my biggest enemy some days. And so to be able to live these spiritual principles and work these steps, I've started working relationships. I mean, damn, no, I haven't. I started working steps like on relationships, like because I realized that I will give my power away real quick. The power of choice is something that I've gained through this process. I get to choose today. Do I want to have a good day? Do I want to have a bad day? Do I want to let my disease run crazy and, you know, like control my whole day? Or do I want to stop and practice some of these tools? And I think the biggest thing that happened for me when I first got here was somebody told me that feelings are not facts. Other people's opinions of me is none of my business. And to sit with it. And that was something that was so important for me because I didn't like to be uncomfortable. And now I seek it out. I seek out the uncomfortable things because that means that I have an opportunity to grow. I have an opportunity to unlock a new level of my life or something that's been holding me back. Because I don't know about y'all, but I was so tired of being bound. I was tired of being told who I was by the world. I was tired of being told, you know, that, oh, she's just a junkie, or hey, she's gay, or hey, she's this, or hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, labels just don't do it for me anymore. Like, I'm Ashley. My name is Ashley, you know, and all that entails, because I don't even know sometimes, you know what I'm saying? I'm a whole lot some days. But I can say it's not all bad, though. It's not. I can look in the mirror and I can see the good things. And that's something that I wasn't able to do when I got here. And I've only learned that through being able to confront my past, you know, and learn, hey, why do I act this way? Why do I seek this validation from people or this appraisal from people when it really doesn't matter at the end of the day? It's like I have the opportunity to get up and be a vessel for my God. And that's what I choose to do today. And when I do that, God takes care of me and I take care of God's people. And that's just the truth. You know, like that's my job, is to get up and be willing. And so, I don't know, man. It's really cool to see how everything kind of works out when you just give your chance a chance. I mean, I didn't think that I deserved it, so I shot myself in the foot a lot of times. And to actually be here and to be living proof that the program works, like, that's cool to me. Like, I mean, I might have been an addict. I might, you know, actively using it. I just am addicted to other shit now. Like, I got like 30 tattoos in my first, like, 3 years clean. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay. But I don't know, man. I think the best thing that I can do today is continue to be honest about where I'm at, regardless of whether that's a good place or a bad place, and to share the message of Narcotics Anonymous, which is go to meetings, get honest, get a sponsor, and start step work. Don't be afraid of yourself. Like, I ain't scared of nothing but God and the weather today. Like, I don't fuck with that weather. But, yeah, but that's all I got, man. I hope y'all got something out of it, and I appreciate y'all letting me share.
Thank you, Ashley. Now I've asked Matthew W. to come up and introduce the next speaker.
Okay. We're coming! Hey. Hey.
Man. What can I say about this guy that's fixing to speak? I met this guy, Mason and myself, had went to a facility or to do some H&I, and the first time I got to meet Tony, he was in an orange jumpsuit. Sorry, I get a little choked up, you know. I absolutely love Tony to death. The part about Tony that is so special to me is he is completely opposite from what you might think. Tony is one of the most gentle, kind people that I've ever met in my life. And he has no idea how much that affects
my recovery. I get to spend most of my days, every single day, working with Tony. He's a beautiful person. Can't wait for you to hear his story.
Hey,
Tony.
I'm Tony. I'm an addict. Can you hear me in the back? No? You can't hear me in the back? I don't know if I need this. One hand or two hands? No pepper shaker? Huh? Man, it never ceases to amaze me as long as I've been coming to these things and doing this. Whenever I hear somebody that I don't know and I've never spent much time with stand up here and tell my story, you know, it just still, even when I expect it, and it comes from old dudes, young guys, young women, people from different parts of the country, and they still tell my story. And it makes me feel like I'm at home, you know. I spent a whole lot of time trying to figure out where I fit in at. Man, I fit in here, I feel like, you know, most of the time. So staying clean on the outside, I only know about that for about, I just celebrated 3 years clean. That's how much time. Thank you. That's how much time I know about staying clean on the outside. I've gotten out, man, that's like 1 in 1,000 times or something, I guess. Not a good opportunity. So I started with institutions when I was real young, way before the drugs. I got put in foster care when I was probably 9-ish or something. After that, and that was my fault. It wasn't because of my parents. I was getting in trouble and doing shit and all those things. And then I'm from a real small town. So if you're from like a big city, if you do big city shit in a small town, they'll hide you for a long time, make an example out of you. And so that's what happened to me whenever I was 14 years old. I come from a household full of drug addicts. Now, I was born into it. My mom was on, if there's any real old school opiate people in here, you remember Tylenol 3s? That's what my mom was on whenever she was, you know, gave birth to me. That was the thing that she chased around. So she was an addict. My dad was an alcoholic. He blamed her for being an addict, and she got, you know, so he would work all the time. In my household, all the men was taught that you work, you take care of the house, you pay bills, and at the end of the day, it's your God-given right to put a cold beer on top of that. Mm-hmm. Take all your feelings, ball them up real tight, and push them down real far, though, and then put a cold beer, some whiskey on top of it. So it didn't work out too good. Usually it come out on us, and my mom especially. She took the brunt of a whole lot of that, you know. And my dad would be insanely hammered and beating the shit out of my mom, calling her a drug addict. And that was confusing because I separated them for a long time. Alcohol's not a drug because they sell it in the store. And they got Budweiser commercials with titties and eagles, you know. Well, those Budweiser commercials don't show people coming home at the end of the day to an empty house because a dude done beat the shit out of his old lady and his kids, and he don't remember doing it. So they don't show that shit on the commercial. It's always titties and horses and trucks, you know. So I got to see the other end of that, though, you know. So anyways, due to no guidance, me thinking I knew some shit, when I was 14 years old, I tried to take it out on somebody I didn't even know. Didn't even know the guy that I shot. Never met him. Didn't know who he was. I was mad at the world. I was pissed off. And that's how that came about. Until I got Narcotics Anonymous, I used to beef that story up a whole lot because I was used to being incarcerated. So, like she said, my stuff on paper made me look like a tough guy. So I used that to my advantage because my charges were so serious. And I was a scared kid that was, you know, scared kid. I was a scared kid. Didn't know what the hell I was doing. And almost ruined a lot of people's life. So, especially mine. So anyways, in 1999, I was the third youngest kid. And I'm sure it's different now. In 1999, I was the third youngest kid in Tennessee to be tried as an adult. So they tried me as an adult as soon as I turned 14 and sentenced me to 16 years in prison. Of course, I didn't go to prison at 14. Stayed in juvenile for a few years, and then before I could grow a mustache or any hair on my face, they sent me to Brushy Mountain, which is a fairly known penitentiary in Tennessee. You got. There's a couple choices you got in that situation. You can kind of grow up pretty quick, or you know, put some Kool-Aid on your lips. I didn't want to do that. And I'm, hey, and let's all be honest, I'm pretty fucking good looking. So I didn't want to put no Kool-Aid on my lips. So once again, I fell into the trying to fit in. I was very, very impressionable. I was a young kid, and I got involved in some stuff in there that affected my life real deeply for a long period of time after that. It put a lot of hate in my heart. Made me have a real bad energy. Like, man, that carrying around that energy of, well, I mean, look, you know, I don't see me how other people see me. I have people say, so I've been heavily tattooed and stuff for a long time, right? So I don't see that now. He called me gentle. I don't know about that. Fucking up my reputation. But that's what I put on a persona and a mask. When I came to Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't realize how many masks I had on, you know? I took one, I was 37, so I took one of them off, and fuck, there was another one underneath that, and who am I? Am I this guy? Am I that guy? Am I this dude I pretended to be in prison for a long time? Am I this, you know, gangbanger dude? Like, I didn't know who I was, you know? So I spent 13 years in there that time. So spending that amount of time, I come home, I guess, a young man, you would call it, not maturity wise, but age wise maybe. And I thought, well, when this sentence is over, that's the problem. It's the parole system. It's the TDOC. I also got, through doing step work, I figured this out. I would come home to people in my town, and they were like, man, they really fucked you over. Man, they took your childhood. Man, they did this. Man, they did that, right? Because I was poor white trash, so we didn't have, well, I had a public defender. And my mom and dad was, hell, my mom showed up, and my dad had stabbed her in the face 3 times during my trial, my court hearing. So she comes to court with stab wounds in her face. They knew that it wasn't good to send me home. You know, so that didn't help my trial. Sorry, I can still see that stuff. I can still see like what her face looked like and all that kind of stuff. So, anyways, I also lost my mom very early in recovery. You said a whole lot of stuff that touched home with me. So, anyways, I would get out and I wouldn't have a plan. Well, then after, I'm one of the only people I know that did a whole lot of prison time before I ever went to jail, because I was so young, so I'd never been to county jail. I used to think, well, if I made it through prison, county jail, sweet, fuck that. County jail's horrible. Man, that's the hard time right there. That's terrible. So I would in and out, do those little things or whatever, and you know, I kept getting older and shit. Like this last time that I went in, man, I've had silver hair for quite some time, but I remember being young and calling people unk and pops, and I said, one of these motherfuckers call me pops, and we're gonna fight in here, you know? Because you got, look, man, I had to start taking a look at my life, you know? You know, I knew how to carry a butcher knife in my asshole. I told you I was going to talk about some weird shit, so you guys are supposed to be my people. I knew how to smuggle a knife in my ass to take it to the yard without you knowing that I had a knife in my ass. But I didn't know how to pay car insurance.
That's right.
I didn't know how to pay a cell phone bill. You know, I didn't know how to keep a number for 6 months. And so in the ways of the world, honestly, to be honest, just 100% honest with y'all, I just made a post thing about this that had me all fired up. I wouldn't let you know it. You know, my dad kind of knew because he had done some time. But, man, I'd get out in about 2 months of me being unincarcerated. I was scared to death and I wanted to go back. You know? I hate saying that out loud, but I was scared to death and I wanted to go back. because I knew how to survive in there, you know? I know how to go to the jail and manipulate people and watch the guy that's wiping tears on the phone. I got his ass and get him on the poker table, have his old lady send us a bunch of money, two for one. I know how to be the honey bun guy. By 37 years old, I know how to be the honey bun guy.
Hell yeah.
In jail. That's crazy, man. You know? And I can't say something magical happened this last time in the beginning. Every time I went, I don't think any of us, and I know I'm not the only person here that's been locked up. Every time I got locked up, I was like, hey, this is the last time. Well, if I change her, it was her. They told on me. That's what it was. They're a bunch of snitches, and I keep it real. Man, don't let them hurt nobody's feelings, but there's an emoji out there right now. It's a red 100.
Yeah.
And you see these kids using that, and they keep it 100. That's one of my biggest pet peeves right now. Bitch, you don't keep it 100. They slide a plea bargain across the table, and you're going to keep it 10. Maybe. Offer you 90 days, you're going to tell on every goddamn body. So anyway, I'll get off into that shit. Right? Man, that shit gets on my nerves. So, Mason's father came in a... Man, you said a whole lot of stuff. I'll probably say that some more times. I went to my first NA meeting to take somebody some dope. Just being honest, you know, the little sign language through the windows. One of my partners and gang-affiliated buddies had come through the jail. I had been there a minute. I had this girl, police officer, who may or may not have weighed a few extra pounds. So I manipulated her, took advantage of her. I'm being honest. So I manipulated her, and I took advantage of her self-esteem. And I did push-ups in a certain area of that pod and got her to look at me a couple times. I manipulated her, and I used her. Right? So I had tobacco and Suboxone by the time my buddy got there. And I was like, hey, go to the NA meeting. Or the church and NA is the only way that we came together in my county jail. So we chose an NA meeting. And man, I'd like to tell you that I went in there to do that, and I flushed the drugs, and the clouds opened up, and all this kind of shit. That's not what happened. I gave him the dope, and I sat there, and I wanted to get the fuck out of there, because I didn't know what anybody was talking about. But I'd committed a couple small, maybe, crimes with Mason's father, allegedly. And he was in there. And what it did for me, man, was I went back to kill time or whatever. But he caught my attention, and if you ever knew the guy, he's really not big, he's a tiny dude, but he was intense, and he was taking his time to come in there. Like, I knew the guy well enough to know that he'd rather be surrounded by a couple young girls. So what are you doing at jail on Saturday morning, you know? And he came in there, and he was talking about this new... So listen, guys... You spoke about it, and I seen it, and probably most people in here that's working a program bumped into somebody at some time, and they were glowing, and I was like, I want that shit. That's what I want. And he was talking about this peace of mind, and I'd like to tell you, I got out from there and was clean and all that kind of stuff. That didn't happen. Still stubborn, caught up in my own shit. But here's the thing that happened for me. I guess I had to get bumped on the head a few extra times. So I would go back to that same jail, and Bobby would come in. And he's still talking the same shit, steps and NA and all this. I'm like, yeah, cool. It sounds good. And then Tony and Matt would come in, or Mason would come in. Well, what I seen happen, man, was me get out a bunch of times with some, you know, weighing 220, come back at 170. That happened a whole bunch of times. Get a truck, get a car, manipulate some woman, burn it all down, and I'm coming right back. Well, these dudes are maintaining their body weight. You know, they got to be telling the truth. Something has got to give with this shit. So one of the last times, I like using the first one, even though that I it ain't recovery, but so I got out, I took the suggestion, and I got out of jail time before last, and I went to a meeting. I didn't even know there was a meeting in my hometown. So I went to a meeting. I asked Mason to be my sponsor. He said I'd be honored. I had a whole bunch of dudes touching me and shit. A couple guys in my home group still kind of will mess with each other about it. I didn't look. I'll hug everybody in this room now. I didn't like you fucking touching me at first. I just didn't like it. And I would have grown-ass men get this close to my face with their face and say, "Hey, brother, I love you." And I'm like, "Man, I'll fuck your wife and steal your wallet." You know? That's what I'll do. But I believed them. Something about them, man, I believed them. And I came back, and I came back. And until I was all for the NA until I popped that green and gold book open and there were 60 questions. I said, "Fuck that. I ain't doing that. I'll just go to meetings. I feel better when I leave." And I was excited, and I stayed clean for about 4 or 5 months. And then I took my wheel back because I didn't do no step work. And you know what happens after that. Funniest thing, man, you'd never guess, right? I'm back in jail. Guess who comes walking in? These same motherfuckers weighing the same amount that they did before. Now, something did magically happen this last time I was in jail, if that's what you want to call it. And I surrendered. I surrendered. I was taught my whole life to don't give up. I don't give a fuck how many there are, how big he is. Don't give up. And that's the way I looked at surrender. Surrender and recovery is completely different for me. And I got tired of seeing those bricks and those bars and having somebody, "Listen, man, I hate to say it, but I'm comfortable having a conversation with you. We can pass a cigarette back while you're shitting next to me. I don't want to live like that." You know, I'm back here doing push-ups and somebody's like, "Hey, man, let me take a shit." "Go ahead, bro, I'm good." That's crazy. Water bags and all that good shit, you know. But I'd said I was tired of it a million times. And I went to a meeting, and I think the first one I came back to, Matt was in there, weighing the same. And I just made a decision, man, that, 60 questions on the first one, the next one can't be worse than that. So I knew a couple people questioned me in my life. I just really stopped giving a fuck. Instead of getting whatever those are, James Patterson and all that kind of shit, Long Arm, all those books, I got self-help books. I opened my mind up to being teachable, and I paid attention. And when I got out, I sat in the front of the meetings. I still try to do that to this day. I listen to people with a little bit more time than I got that's living the program. I've also, from all my time of being incarcerated, I got a sixth sense, if that's what you want to call it, of I can see through bullshit real well. So if you're in my meeting, this is just me. Don't nobody take offense to this. Because somebody will. but you know, if you're in my inner circle, then you're not coming to a meeting and saying some real pretty Chase P type shit and then running trains on the newcomers out in the parking lot, right? And stealing and smacking your old lady and doing all those type of things. So I surrounded myself with those people, right? One of the reasons I asked him to be my sponsor is because he's like this NA guru guy, you know? Or he thinks he is. So, well, a lot of my life, because of me, I've had a whole lot of men that will tell me what I want to hear. And he's one of the first person that disagreed with me when I called him. I was like, "Look, I'm about to choke this bitch." You know, and then I got done ranting, and he's like, "Well, what'd you do?" And I'm like, "You ain't listening to what I'm saying." At all. It's her fault. Well, what'd you do, right? And I just think it's a beautiful thing that kind of all comes together, that his father planted the seed, and I should come up with something real, and then you watered the plant. You know what I mean? That'd be kind of, is that good? That's pretty good?
Good.
Yeah, I'll do better next time. But man, what an honor to come here at this convention. I was super intimidated the first time that I came here. What an honor to meet new people. I'm not as nervous as I was. I used to just come to a couple of these things and hide in my room. I will be taking naps, but... man, it's so beautiful to see all these people come together in the name of recovery, you know? Man, this is my fourth one, maybe something like that. Hey, ain't today your clean day? Hey, my man Tony P's got 5 years clean today. Hey, I pointed him out, and this is something else, man, that got me, just tell me if I start, I'll start getting hyped up sometimes and I want to get out of here. So, early on, I talked to my sponsor, 6-7 months clean, whatever, I'm doing some step work, And I called him. I said, look, man, I'm working second shift. And I went to the gym. I've done all these things. She's at work. I had that going on back then. I don't know what to do with myself. I'm watching episodes of Lock Up back and forth in the living room until I got to go to work. There's not a meeting until tonight. I feel real fucked up about it, you know. So Mason's like, look, man, I don't know nothing about all that shit. Call Tony Pete, right? So seeing somebody be able to step to the side and point me in the right direction meant a whole lot and take their ego out of the way. Man, I got enough ego for everybody in here, you know. I don't need somebody else with one with a God complex. I got one of those too. So to see people really genuinely look at, listen, I can only speak for my home group. I got them on my shirt. This is the best home group in Hoonwa. If you ain't been down there, there's two of them. Come to this one. Bigger building, better coffee. Just, it's better people all the way around. You know? Over there, they're sober as fuck. We stay clean at Newcomers.
Hell yeah.
So man, I got to see some. So my whole life, I looked for a healthy relationship with a man. You know, and those dudes that had those dudes that raised me wasn't healthy. You know what I mean? The man, killers and rapists, and man, my softball coach was a. I ain't going to get into all that. You know, real shit. Like, I was raised by the most violent men in the state of Tennessee. That's who raised me, you know? Man, thank God. If it wasn't for narcotics, there's no fucking way I should be standing up here. I'm trying to work on cussing, and it's not doing good. I'm not doing good at it. I'm not doing very good at it. Yeah. Thank God for this program. You know, I'm not perfect. None of y'all are perfect. All those things that people say. But so far, myself, especially if I'm involved in it, I've not found anything that wasn't perfect about the program of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, I can use step work for a whole lot of things. And I still do, if I'm on top of my game. I know how I work. Something will go on. I'll take my wheel back for a little bit until I get enough pain behind that shit, and I'll drag my ass to him or him or him or him and be like, hey, man, fucking, this is what it is. And I get the same answer, and, you know, pick up your book, talk to somebody, do NA stuff, right? Work the steps or die, that type of shit. Thank God that drugs aren't a part of my life, but thank God that they were a part of my life for a long time. Because I got to start, I'm beginning how to learn how to be a man, a productive member of society. I get to work with addicts. Hey, they got to kick me out of my work, right? Asking. They got to make me leave that place. Just because I love seeing the miracle or somewhat of the miracle take hold and somebody get a little bit of hope back in their eyes. You know, see somebody be where I was at. With no hope. The ending of my addiction last time, I wanted to stick a pistol in my mouth. I just didn't have the balls to do it. I didn't want to go back. That's where it always leads me. And I didn't want to live like that no more, man. I just didn't want to live like that no more. And I couldn't do it. Fuck, I couldn't do it with the drugs. I tried. Couldn't do it with the drugs. Thank God that he, she, whatever it is, didn't let me do it. Am I close?
You got 10 minutes.
No, don't be starting no shit. Don't be starting no shit. Man, I appreciate it, man. I'm not really uncomfortable at all. I just I feel like I've said about what I can say. And I love you guys. Hey, if I haven't met you, holler at me. As long as I'm not taking a nap. And it's good to see everybody in here. Man, these are my people. You guys are my people. And I love you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I got choked up.
Man.